Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chaktva sudushya jasurepsita raja lakshmin. Dharmishta arya vachasayad agadaranyam. Maya mrigam dai. Tayepsitam and Vadavad. Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in obedience to a Brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who were always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundara. Purport: according to the Vaishnavacharyas, this important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is understood to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and also Lord Sri Ramachandra. This verse appears within the discussion by the sage Karabhajana of the Yuga avatars, or the different incarnations of the personality of Godhead who deliver the conditioned souls of each age. The prayer is ending with the words Vande Maha Purushate Charanaravindam are understood to glorify the incarnation of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga, known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived for 24 years in Navadvip as a householder and enjoyed immense popularity among both scholars and ordinary persons. His Sankirtan movement was completely supported by the local government, even though it was Muslim. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the pleasure of marrying the goddess of fortune. No ordinary woman of the material world, no matter how gorgeous she may be, can in any way compare with the beautiful goddess of fortune. Everyone in the universe, including Lord Brahma, is searching after the goddess of fortune. Therefore, it is stated here, Surepshita. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna appearing as a Brahmana, and therefore he is certainly Dharmishta, or the most religious. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always Dharmishta, whether he appears as a cowherd boy, a great king, or a Brahmana, because the Lord himself is the original source and personification of all religious principles. However, in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are very few political and economic activities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as a great philosopher Brahman, and thus he is certainly Dharmishta. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 17th chapter of the Adi Lila, it's described that a certain Brahmana, who was well known for being harsh and cursing others, could not enter the kirtan hall where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan because the door was locked. Being very agitated and breaking his Brahman's thread, he cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the next day on the bank of the Ganges, saying, "I shall not curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me. You shall be bereft of all material happiness." However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great jubilation within himself, since his mission was Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, to give up the illusion of material sense gratification and staunchly engage 24 hours a day in the devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this curse as a blessing, and soon after the Lord took sannyas. Thus it's stated in this verse that by the words of the Aryan, the Brahmana, Arya Vachasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, yad agad aranyam, and went traveling through the different forests of India on the way to Vrindavan and later South India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to preserve the prestige of the Brahmana class, and therefore he decided to keep the Brahmana's curse intact. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained the words Maya Mrigam as follows. Maya means one's so-called wife, children, and bank account, which keep one firmly bound up in the material bodily concept of life. The word Mrigam indicates Mrigyati, or to search out. Thus, Maya Mrigam indicates the conditioned living entity who is always frantically searching for the latest up-to-the-minute sense gratification in the material bodily concept of life, friendship, and love. Anvadavat indicates that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always visibly going here and there searching after the fallen conditioned souls. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes embrace the conditioned souls on the pretext of religious friendship or ecstasy, but actually the Lord was touching the bodies of the conditioned souls to pull them out of the ocean of material existence and hurl them into the ocean of ecstatic love of Godhead. Thus Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most merciful and munificent incarnation of the Lord, whose mercy surpassed the bounds of mundane discrimination in the matter of caste, color, and creed. The word Daitaya can be explained as follows. The Sanskrit word Daya means mercy. Thus, by grammatical derivation, the word used in this verse, Daitaya, indicates that because of being the most merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was busily engaged in rescuing the fallen conditioned souls who were completely distracted and bewildered by the external illusory energy of the Lord. The quality of being the most merciful is part and parcel of the character of the Mahapurusha, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this verse also describes the incarnation of Lord Krishna himself in his original blackish form. Thus the words Surepshita Rajalakshmim indicate Sri Mathura Sampatim, or the opulence of Mathura. Mathura is described in Vedic literature as the reservoir of all opulence because of the touch of the Lord's lotus feet in that precinct. But Krishna, although taking birth in the opulent city of Mathura, transferred himself to the forest village of Vrindavan. In this case, the word Arya Vachasa indicates the order of Lord Krishna's original parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.22 and 29, both Vasudeva and Devaki expressed their fear at the threat of Kamsa, who had already killed all of Krishna's elder brothers. The word Arya Vachasa thus indicates that with great love they requested Krishna to kindly make some arrangement to avoid Kamsa, and Krishna, to obey their order, transferred himself to the forest village of Vrindavan, Yad Agad Aranyam. In this context, the words Maya Mrigam indicate the special exalted relationship between Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. Maya also indicates the internal potency of Krishna, Yoga Maya. The inconceivable form of Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani. Due to the incontrollable love of Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna becomes easily controlled by her. Thus, mrigam, or animal, in this case, indicates krida, mrigam, or a toy animal. Just as a beautiful young girl may play with so many dolls or stuffed animals, similarly, Lord Krishna becomes just like a doll in the hands of the most beautiful young girl, Srimati Radharani. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Srimati Radharani performed innumerable types of worship in order to bind Krishna more and more to her, because Srimati Radharani cannot live without Krishna. Thus, due to Srimati Radharani's aradhana or worship, Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He runs here and there in Vrindavan, protecting the cows, playing with his friends, and engaging in countless intrigues of love with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Thus the word anvatavat indicates Krishna's boyish activities. He's running throughout the transcendental land of Vrindavan, tightly under the control of the love of Srimati Radharani. Srila Sridhar Swami has explained how this verse also describes the incarnation of Lord Sri Ramachandra. Although the Lord is completely independent and detached from everything, he becomes attached to his pure devotees due to their love for him. In the great capital of Ayodhya, all of the citizens love Ramachandra more than can be described. In this context, Arya Vachasa means that by the order of his father, who was just like his guru, Ramachandra gave up everything and went to the forest. There he exhibited his great affection for Mother Sita and chased after Maya Mrigam, or the illusory deer that had been created by the trick of Ravana. That this golden deer was especially desired by Srimati Sita Devi is indicated by the words Daitayepsitam. All of the limbs of the Lord's transcendental body are non-different and interchangeable, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.32, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritimanti Pasyanti Panti Kalayanti Chiram Jaganti Ananda Chinmaya Sadujvala Vigrahasya Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. All of the limbs, Angani, of the Supreme Lord are Sakalendriya Vritimanti, or possessing all of the functions of all of the other limbs. Thus, the two lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are a plenary representation of the Supreme Personality. The two lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are a plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worshipping the Lord's lotus feet immediately places the worshipper in the ocean of transcendental bliss. There is no factual difference in spiritual quality between the incarnations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, and Sri Ramachandra. As stated in Vedic literature, Advaitim Achutim Anadim Anantarupam. Therefore, there is no contradiction in the opinions of the Acharyas that this verse wonderfully glorifies three different manifestations of one absolute truth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is undoubtedly the Supreme Personality of God, and his transcendental attributes fulfill in every sense of the term the descriptions of the Absolute Truth as given in the Vedic literature. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the third chapter of the Adilila, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada have given elaborate explanations of the transcendental status of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which the reader can refer to for further information. Everyone should follow the example of the sage Karabhajana and worship the lotus feet of the Mahaprabhu, the Mahapurusha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should not rot on the platform of mental speculation and whimsical interpretation, but should actually revive his lost relationship with the Absolute Truth by surrendering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who are worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are deriving wonderful spiritual results and are tasting the fruit of love of Krishna. Therefore, Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. Let us humbly bow down at the lotus feet of the original Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Mahapurusha glorified within Srimad Bhagavatam. Corroborating the explanation of this verse, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also worship him in his six-arm form of Sadbuja, two arms carrying the water pot and danda of the sannyasi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, two arms carrying the flute of Lord Krishna, and two arms carrying the bow and arrow of Sri Ramachandra. This Sadbuj form is the actual purport of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Chakvasu Dushyaja Surepsita Raja Lakshmim Dharmishta Aryavacha Sa Yadagad Aranyam Mayamrigam Daita Yepsitam Anvadhavat Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanaravindam. O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of the goddess of fortune and all her opulence, which is the most difficult to renounce and is hankered after even by the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you left for the forest in obedience to a brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of illusion, at the same time engaged in searching out your desired object, Lord Shyam Sundara. So it's a very interesting verse and very extensive commentary here. Ridayananda Maharaj has written this commentary, citing the commentaries of previous acharyas, especially the words Arya Vachasa. Commented on extensively, giving three different readings of those words in relationship to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and Lord Ramachandra, who can remember, in relation to Lord Chaitanya, Arya Vachasa. Yes, the curse of the Brahmin who was not allowed into the Kirtan. Became very angry. He broke his Brahmin thread and cursed Mahaprabhu that he would be devoid of material happiness. But Mahaprabhu was actually pleased with the curse. There's a contrary example when someone gave a blessing to Mahaprabhu. Once Lord Chaitanya, this is related in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, once Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were, you know, roaming by the bank of the Ganga, when they came upon the kutir, the cottage of a grihastha sannyasi, which sounds a bit unusual, but some kind of sadhu, you know, who was probably wearing saffron, but he had a wife as well. So he was very enthusiastic seeing these two beautiful personalities, and he invited them to his home, and he offered to feed them, and they agreed to accept some fruits. And so they were seated down, he was serving the fruits, and he asked them, "Would you like some happiness?" And they didn't reply, and then again he asked a couple of times, take some happiness. And Mahaprabhu, he asked Lord Nityananda, "What does he mean, take some happiness?" And Lord Nityananda said, "I think that he means take some wine." And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he jumped up, and he and Nittai ran. Oh, sorry, I missed a little bit. Excuse me. He blessed them. He was serving them, and he said, "You're very nice young men, and I bless you that you'll have a nice wives and nice homes and all opulence." And Mahaprabhu said, "This is not a blessing. It sounds like a curse." That householder sannyasi felt very offended. But anyway, he went on serving, and then he offered the happiness. And when he offered the happiness, then they jumped up and ran out of the house and jumped in the Ganges and took bath. So that's the reverse example. Mahaprabhu considered that blessing to be a curse, and this curse he considered to be a blessing. And shortly after that, he took sannyas. And this, the words of this verse can especially be taken to refer to Mahaprabhu, because it's just two verses before the famous verses there, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam, Sango Pangastra Parshadam, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. In this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He's accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So this verse is always quoted as Bhagavatam predicting the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada has quoted the verse in so many different contexts and purports in his lectures. So this verse is coming just after, so this especially can be taken to refer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Jiva Goswami and Sridhar Swami have given also some other readings of the word Aryavachasa, which are you had not put your hand up? Looked like it. Looked like you were enthusiastic to respond. Who can remember? Are you looking at the book? Okay. Huh? Yeah, these are the two examples. Jiva Goswami has cited that, well, in this sense, the words are not taken to mean a curse. Well, Vachasa is simply the words, Arya Vachasa, words of a Brahmin or words of an Aryan. So, Vasudeva and Devaki were very concerned that Kamsa would harm Krishna, and therefore they, from love, they requested him to go to the forest of Vrindavan, to live in the forest village of Vrindavan. And Dasarath Maharaj, of course, because of his boon that he had offered Kaikeyi, when she demanded that he fulfill the boon, or two boons, of course. One was to put her son Bharat on the throne, and the other was to exile Ramchandra to the forest of Dandakaranya. So that's also Arya Vachasa. A great king like Dasarath is also considered an Aryan. So in this way we can see how the great acharyas, they can give us very deep meanings to the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada always referred to the commentaries of the acharyas Once I remember in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada asked me to go and collect some books from a professor in the Aligarh University. Aligarh is a town about three hours away from Vrindavan, where it's a big university. It's actually called Aligarh Muslim University. Anyhow, there was a professor there, had promised to donate to Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam with commentaries of eight acharyas. So I went there, temple sent me in their car, temple car, and arriving in his house, he showed me on the floor two big piles of books. One pile was Canto 1 to 9 and Canto 11 and 12, and the other pile was Canto 10. Canto 1 to 9 and 11 and 12 had 8 commentaries. Canto 10 had 11 commentaries. There are additional commentaries by some acharyas, like Sanatan Goswami, for example, has only written on the 10th canto. But these commentaries are included: Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Veera Raghava, and others, Madhavacharya. Professor, he said, these are the books, but he said, I would like to become a life member of ISKCON in return for donating the books. So I was thinking, well, I've come all the way to get the books. I don't have the authority to make him a member. But I can't go back without the books. So I told him, well, I'll ask when I get back if you can become a member. Hopefully it will be agreeable. I'll take the books anyway. So I took the books and went back to Vrindavan and brought the books into Prabhupada's room, and then told Prabhupada what the professor had said. And Prabhupada looked at the books and he said, these books are worth 1,000 rupees, but life membership is 2,222. So he said, if he pays the balance, he can become a life member. I wasn't staying in Vrindavan temple permanently then. I was on this library party. We were selling books throughout India. Just happened to used to meet in different places where Prabhupada would be, and our parties would go out and spend 6 weeks, and they'd come back and just meet, you know, in the place where Prabhupada was. So I didn't stay there, but apparently the issue remained unresolved. Prabhupada kept the books and used them when he was in Vrindavan to translate, and that man didn't become a member. Long after Prabhupada's disappearance, he was pressing the Vrindavan management to make him a member. I think they might have given it to him eventually, I'm not sure. Prabhupada was very strict, you know, with money. I can recall another example once in Mumbai. Prabhupada had some keys he had a safety box. And he had some keys to open it. Somehow they got misplaced. And he asked me to call one of these key wallets, you know. You see them on the streets in India. They have so many keys, and, you know, they can figure out how to open whatever. So he came, and he was trying to open. He had so many keys. He was in Prabhupada's apartment in Juhu, know, Prabhupada stayed in the inner room, and there was a sort of outer room. When you came in, it was a big outer room, like a lounge room, I guess. And of course, there was no furniture in it. And I think the servants used to sleep out there. So this man, he had all his keys spread out all over the floor, and he was, you know, trying one after another, one after another, one after another. And nothing worked, nothing worked. And he was perspiring, and it was going on and on and on for over an hour. And he couldn't get the box open. And eventually Prabhupada came out, and he kind of looked at him sternly. And the man, you know, he was helpless. He was embarrassed. He was helpless. He just couldn't do it. And Prabhupada, you know, he sort of turned and went back into his room. And then I went in and I asked Prabhupada, "What shall I do?" Prabhupada said, "Give him 1 rupee. Send him back." So for all his work, he got 1 rupee. Then I Prabhupada told me to take the box back to the Godrej company where it was made. And as it turned out, actually, you needed 2 keys to open it. It's one of those boxes you have to put 1 key in and open, then the next key in, and then it opens. So they gave the 2 keys, and he was able to open the box. Anyhow, as we know, Prabhupada was very strict in Vrindavan when they were constructing the temple. He didn't want the devotees to get cheated, and he would have all the bills checked and double checked, and three obligatory signers on the bank account. And when devotees were afraid to ask Prabhupada for more money to continue with the construction, but they had to. And in India, when you're constructing, somehow or other, even you make the plan, the estimate, the price always increases. Somehow it's always more than it originally. But Prabhupada wasn't pleased at all, but still, you know, he would give the money. And but he insisted devotees be very, very, very careful how they would spend it. Because Krishna's money, it's earned by hard endeavor of the devotees. Devotees would be going on the streets, selling books, austerity. I remember that letter Prabhupada wrote me. Maharaj, you sometimes refer to it when we were traveling in England. That Prabhupada said, it's very cold there, because we were traveling in a van. He said, you know, sometimes you must not get proper rest or proper food stuff. But he said, because it seems like play to you, because you've surrendered to Krishna, it seems like play to you. So, and he said, thus you surpassed the feats of millions of so-called yogis and transcendentalists and achieved the mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada knew that, you know, it was a struggle for the devotees. Of course, we really enjoyed traveling Sankirtan. It was a life of great freedom. We could stay in the forests, and we used to sometimes, you know, especially in summer, park our van in the forest. And in the morning we'd get up and have Mangal Arati and chant our rounds and then read Srimad Bhagavatam and feel like we were in the forest of Naimisharanya. Learn the verses. And even once Narahari Prabhu, his party, they parked the van on the seashore and the sea came in when they were out for their japa walk and carried the van out to sea. Fortunately we got some insurance money, I think. But there were lots of adventures on traveling Sankirtan. So devotees all over the world, especially in Europe and America, in Indradyumna Maharaj, he was traveling constantly in France, selling French books. Many parties of devotees out traveling, and giving money to the BBT, and then Prabhupada was taking that money and he divided it, the profit. 50% would be kept for printing more books and 50% for temple construction. So for putting more books into print, because he would take the cost price of the books plus 50% more. So BBT could put books into print in more and more languages of the world. Prabhupada wanted to, at least in all the major languages of the world, and eventually all the languages of the world. Of course, not every language has got a written form, a written alphabet. Some languages are just spoken, but at least as many languages as possible, he wanted all his books to be published in. And then there would be profit also for temple construction. So Prabhupada himself would supervise and especially used it for the construction of temples in Vrindavan in Mumbai and Mayapur. These are three big projects that Prabhupada developed. Also, some other temples in India, like Hyderabad, were built and opened during Srila Prabhupada's time. But he was very strict with money to see that it was all being used very, very carefully. So we should also be careful with Krishna's money, not to squander it needlessly, but to use it in the service of the Lord very carefully. And then, of course, Krishna will send more. Because Prabhupada used the money carefully, Krishna sent so much more. In the beginning, he had very little. When he was in Delhi and Vrindavan, he was staying in Vrindavan, translating, but then he would go to Delhi for printing of the Back to Godhead, printing the first volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had very little money, but he was very careful. Many times he would walk to the printers instead of taking the rickshaw just to save a few paisa, so that somehow or other he could get the books printed. And that was the instruction of his spiritual master. As we know, Prabhupada once met his spiritual master at Radhakund, and when they were walking on the banks of the Radhakund, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur expressed his concern, Agun Jalbi, in the Gaudiyama. He was very concerned that there will be fire because of the senior man vying for position. So he was concerned that after his departure, they would have so much conflict that this would break up the institution, which actually happened, of course. So he said, this is because of the opulence. I built a big marble temple in Bagh Bazar in Calcutta, and they're, you know, vying who will occupy which room. So very dangerous material opulence for devotees and for renunciates. And he said it would be better to sell the marble and print books. So he told Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. So Prabhupada always remembered that instruction of his spiritual master. He always meditated on that instruction. And that's why he began. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also told him to preach in English language and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So therefore he began Back to Godhead in 1944. And he eventually wrote many other books, and like Easy Journey to Other Planets was written very early on. And of course he translated the Bhagavad Gita, but the manuscript was stolen, and then he translated Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially that he got published in Delhi before he left for the USA. It was a great accomplishment to translate the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in three volumes. Even though the Prabhupada acknowledged that the grammar of the English was not so perfect. And in the beginning of the book, he cites the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratisloka Abhadya Vadyapi, that verse states how those words which glorify the name, form, qualities, pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those literatures which describe the Lord and his pastimes, etc., even if imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So Prabhupada cites that verse to show how, even though his English was not, you know, most perfect grammatically, still he was confident that sincere persons would read the books and understand them and accept their message. And he was able to actually present copies to the then Prime Minister of India, Lal Bahadur Shastri. There's a nice picture of Srila Prabhupada presenting the books. And the Prime Minister gave the order to the government libraries to accept, to buy sets. So in this way Prabhupada was, you know, distributing books, the first big book distributor of ISKCON, even before ISKCON. Of course his own spiritual master and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur before also printed many books and organized the distribution of many books, but Prabhupada especially was able to translate, print very extensively in the English language. So this is because of his firm determination and dedication to the order of his spiritual master. I remember once being in his room in the manor, and Prabhupada was saying in a very humble way, he said, "I have no qualification." He said, "My only qualification is that I've tried to follow the order of my spiritual master." Therefore, you know, with one pointed determination, he focused on that order and carried out that order, and by doing so, he was able to expand Krishna consciousness all over the world. The books are the basis, Srila Prabhupada said. So they're the basis of our ISKCON movement. Shravanam, this is the first Anga of Bhakti. And hearing is the activity that we do every day. And we should do every day. Srimad Bhagavatam class. Bhagavad Gita class. Hearing the words of Krishna. Hearing the words of the great Acharyas. Hearing the words spoken about Krishna. These are purifying to the consciousness, purifying to the soul. So when accompanied by chanting of the holy names of Krishna, this has a very powerful effect in cleansing the heart of all the dust of material existence and establishing a person firmly on the path of devotional service to Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada took such great pains in translating the books, and he would use the commentaries of all the Acharyas. Every time he would translate a verse, he would refer to the Acharya's commentaries. Most of the Acharya's commentaries are in Sanskrit, so he would study them, and then he would include portions of those commentaries within his purports to give great authority. This is a tradition in India. You don't invent your own commentary or speculative interpretation. You base your commentary on the commentaries of the previous acharyas. Of course, there's a famous example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita when Balabhabhata came to Jagannath Puri having written a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wanted to read it to Mahaprabhu. And first he tried to read it to some of Mahaprabhu's followers, and they kept avoiding him because they knew that it wasn't bona fide. So he became very frustrated because he was quite a known personality. He finally burst into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room and announced, "I have written a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I have refuted the commentary of Sridhar Swami." Mahaprabhu became very angry and chastised him very severely, that one who does not follow the Swami I consider to be a prostitute. Swami also means husband. So if the wife, you know, leaves the husband in Vedic society, considered as prostitute, goes off with another man like that. So in the same way, Mahaprabhu used that example to indicate that if one is going to write commentary, one has to follow the commentary of Sridhar Swami. He's the senior most of the commentators on the Bhagavatam, and his commentaries are considered to be very authoritative. One may write one's commentary as other acharyas have done, and they have added further understanding, but their commentaries are all grounded in the understanding given by Sridhar Swami. So Prabhupada, he was very careful to follow the same tradition. Also in the way that he presents the Sanskrit, and then analysis of the Sanskrit to show exactly, you know, how he has translated each portion of the verse, because many portions can be understood in various ways. Words can be combined together in different ways due to sandhi or junction of words, so that they have different meanings. Niyamagraha, for example, in that verse by Rupa Goswami, may mean too much fanatical following of rules and regulation, or too much laxity in following those rules and regulations. So both understandings can be there, and both things are detrimental to a person's spiritual advancement. Adversa, atyahara, prayasas chapa jalpo, niyamagraha, jana sangha chaloliam cha, sadbir bhaktir vinashyati. So Prabhupada also wanted us to read the books carefully and to gain a deep understanding, and thus also gain an ability to present the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam ourselves in an authoritative way. And he said that the devotee should learn his books just like lawyers know law books. If you go to a lawyer's office, there are so many law books on the shelves, but if necessary, the lawyer will immediately be able to pinpoint a particular case in a particular book. Of course, nowadays they will use computers, they have search engines and so forth, but at any rate, during Srila Prabhupada's time, there weren't such facilities, so the lawyers would know the books very carefully, and where they could find all the different examples, the different precedents. So in the same way, devotees should learn verses, and they should learn the way in which Prabhupada comments on particular verses, so as to be able to authoritatively present the teachings of Krishna consciousness and convince others. Although people in Kali Yuga are not very philosophical by nature, still they can digest some philosophy, as Maharaj was giving us a little philosophy last night, and people could understand. I think they appreciate very much, and the examples were very clear, and of course it's for a broad audience, and therefore a basic presentation of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, of not being the body, but that's a philosophical basis of Krishna consciousness. That's very important. That's the philosophical basis of Bhagavad Gita, to understand that we are all eternal spirit souls, and of course Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the topics of Bhagavad Gita. Who are we? Who is Krishna? And what is the relationship between us and Krishna? How we can develop that relationship through what Krishna is teaching, or bhakti yoga, devotional service. So we need to know what we're doing. Although in the 10th chapter of Gita, Prabhupada does say that even if a person is not intelligent enough to, you know, understand the philosophy, still if he sincerely goes on practicing Krishna consciousness and trying to understand, at least trying to hear, then Krishna will give him the intelligence. I dwelling there within the heart, you know, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Krishna will help and enlighten that person. Of course, there's a famous example in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in Sri Rangam. He went and visited the Ranganath temple where many Brahmins were there. One Brahmin in particular he saw, he was reading Bhagavad Gita and he was shedding tears. And that Brahmin, other Brahmins would make fun of him because he couldn't pronounce the Sanskrit so expertly. So Mahaprabhu was asking him, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "My spiritual master told me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. I can't read so well, but still I'm trying my best to do it every day. And when I see when I envisage Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot, then tears come to my eyes." So Mahaprabhu was very pleased and he embraced him and he said, "You have understood the real meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's purpose is to make us into devotees of Krishna." And of course, Prabhupada's Gita was successful in doing that. Prabhupada said that before I published Bhagavad Gita as it is, there were so many translations in English language, but none of them made a single devotee of Krishna. He said, "But since we have presented our Bhagavad Gita as it is, so many persons have become devotees just by reading it. Any of you, was that the first book you read, Bhagavad Gita? Yes? In my case, it was the first book. I got Back to Godhead magazine, because these are very important publications, you see. On the street, I got it, Back to Godhead magazine, and it aroused my interest in Krishna consciousness. Mandakini Dasi sold me the first copy in London. And I was going to the States. I read it on the airplane. And then I went to Canada, in Montreal. I was staying at a friend's apartment. I found Bhagavad Gita as it is. He had never opened it. But I took it and stole it, actually. Read it from cover to cover. I can't say I understood everything so well in the first reading, but it did convince me that one has to find a bona fide spiritual master. That message I picked up very clearly from Prabhupada's purports. And then I was coming back to New York to fly back to London, and I saw a huge Harinam party on the street. And a devotee saw me staring at them, and he came over and sold me another magazine. He said, "Come to the temple, please." I said, "I can't. I'm going to London tonight." He said, "There's a temple in London. You go there." So on the way back, I read a magazine on the plane, and when I got to London, went to the temple. And fortunately, Prabhupada was there. And the first thing happened, devotee said, "Take prasadam." It was lunchtime. And after prasadam, they said, "Time for Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan. Let's go." So they took me on Oxford Street all the way to from one end to the other, all the way back, 3 hours. It's a wonderful experience. I used to hate Oxford Street, you know, such a congested place, polluted place. Being a hippie type, I liked the countryside and forests and rivers and so forth. So I didn't like coming to Oxford Street at all. But when I was on Harinam on Oxford Street, it was like floating on air. There was no distraction at all. I could, you know, just be with the devotees and absorbed in chanting. And when we came back to the temple, a little more prasad, and it was time for evening lecture. Prabhupada came and gave the lecture. But then I was sure, yes, this is a bona fide spiritual master. But we see this kind of effect reading Prabhupada's books has, and so many devotees may not have had Bhagavad Gita first, but so many devotees had one or another of Prabhupada's books or one of the magazines, and in that way they became attracted to Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada said, he cited his spiritual master's words and said that the small mridanga, it can be heard, you know, for a block or two. But books are like a brihat mridanga; they can be heard all over the world when we distribute books. Just like someone had given that friend of mine a Bhagavad Gita, he didn't read it. I had come all the way from UK to Canada. And I got it, and I read it, and it convinced me. Once Prabhupada stopped, I think, in Athens Airport, in transit, and a boy came up to him and said he had a Bhagavad Gita, and he started asking Prabhupada some questions, and Prabhupada said, "See, we have never come here." At that time, there was no temple in Greece. He said, "But our books have come here." So this is Brihat Madanga. Therefore, the book distribution is such an important activity. Prabhupada gave so much stress to it, and also it helped him to construct these beautiful temples, which are the main places of pilgrimage for all the ISKCON devotees. What is it Prabhupada said? Mumbai is my office, Vrindavan is my home, and Mayapur is my place of worship, isn't it? So in that way, he from the proceeds mainly of book distribution, and of course other donations, he constructed these wonderful temples so that devotees could come from different parts of the world and join together in chanting the holy names of the Lord, and especially to fulfill the prediction of Lord Nityananda that there would be an Adbhuta Mandir, most wonderful temple in Mayapur, and also to fulfill the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that one day in Mayapur the devotees would come from countries all over the world, England and France, Germany, Russia, so many countries, to join together in chanting Jai Sachinandana, glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada fulfilled this desire of the Lord, and also Lord Chaitanya, that his holy name would be chanted in all the towns and villages of the world. So he fulfilled the predictions of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, we're still to construct the Adbhuta Mandir, but we hope that within our lifetime we'll see it. There's definitely, if we are not obstructed by the communist government of Bengal, which is, of course, atheistic, and but still, even the present temple is Adbhuta. It's most wonderful because such ecstatic kirtan goes on. There's so many beautiful deities, Radha Madhava, the Panchatattva, and devotees are engaged sincerely in so many wonderful activities of devotional service. So in conclusion then, this purport is very extensive, and by showing how it can refer to Krishna, Ramachandra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it can therefore be taken that the Sadbhuj form is the actual purport of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the six-armed form of the Lord, which he manifested to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Two arms of Mahaprabhu carrying water pot and danda, two arms of Krishna carrying the flute, and two arms of Ramchandra carrying the bow and arrow. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any comment or question?
I am wondering, what you say similarly, I go on Bhagavad Gita in this, 4 December 1973, I was in Maidman, and I was going from my office to post office to pick my mail, and one devotee gave me that, and that's how I came to know Swami, and my friend, 35 years later.
Very nice. I think in Radhumna Maharaj also, you'll remember going to Samoa. Was it Western Samoa? Or Samoa? But you also went to Samoa once. And there was a doctor there, Dr. Ba Tan, you may remember. He's a Burmese person working in Samoa for UN, I think. And he somehow got a one day in his you know, post box, he found there was a chant and be happy, I think. It was from Australia, and in the back was the address of Melbourne Temple. He started corresponding with Aniruddha, became interested in Krishna consciousness, and he went to New Zealand, and I was doing some programs there, I think Nelson or Dunedin, one of those places, and he came along, and he really liked the program, and you know, he decided to take up Krishna consciousness, and eventually he went back to Burma and became initiated Bhagavad Dharma Das, and his son also became a devotee, and Srivas Pandit Das. Now there, his son is the regional secretary of Myanmar, and the father, you know, he can't travel so much, but he lives in Moomin in southern Myanmar, and he was the president of one Satyanarayan temple there, and so he's made it into like complete ISKCON temple. It's a very old temple, renovated it, and his son been very active, and now there are 10 centers in Myanmar, and his son has also translated Bhagavad Gita, published in the Burmese language, and quite a number of other books. Publishes Back to Godhead actually every couple of months in Burmese, in Hindi and Nepali, in three languages. So, and, you know, just started out by him, you know, getting a book in his post box. So like that book distribution, it can reach in a very far away places. Maharaj went there and inspired that gentleman in his Krishna consciousness, and and the result is so many people have become Krishna conscious. So this was the mood of Srila Prabhupada, to always try to go out and preach, distribute books, and give people the chance. He always quoted the verse, Yari Deko Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guru Hao Tare Desh. It's the verse Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to the Brahmin, Kurma Brahmana. Kurma Brahmana was just a humble, simple householder, and he wanted to leave his family and travel with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was disturbed by the complexities of family life. But Mahaprabhu said, no, you stay here, chant Hare Krishna, you won't be disturbed by the miseries of material existence. And whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. In this way, become guru and deliver the country. So he wasn't a big sannyasi or a, you know, big pandit. He was a simple person. But still, Mahaprabhu gave that important instruction to him. So instruction is meant for everyone. Man, woman, child, old, young, whoever we are. If we try, just sincerely try to follow the order of Prabhupada and preach and distribute Krishna conscious literature, then that will enable so many people to come to Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says that he is especially pleased with those who are preaching his glories. For such a person, he says, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So this mood, it very strongly pervades our Krishna conscious movement. This was the mood of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. So it was very nice to attend the Carnival Spirituel yesterday evening, and you know, see what a wonderful program, how many people it's attracted. I heard 850 people were present yesterday, and you could tell how much they enjoyed the program, how much they were inspired. So we thank Maharaj very much for benedicting the people of Australia and all of you devotees who are sincerely working in this wonderful program. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki. Gaur Premanandi.